Well, we thank the Lord that we can be here with the saints this morning.
Amen.
Kind of missed a few times. It wasn't by design. It wasn't my desire to things to come up and haven't missed it. My heart was still here. I wanted to come back. And this morning, I ask you to excuse me. I've had a little bit of trouble with my throat, and I don't mean to just clear my throat quite a bit, but you can overlook some of that. I ask you, please, do this morning. Thankful for everybody who put forth an effort to come out this morning. We're here to do business with the Lord.
Amen.
I don't believe in a social gospel, one that just tickles people's ears. I don't think that goes very far, spiritual walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
I really believe that if we're interested, if we believe that God is, well then, and we believe that we have responsibility, someday we're going to go out of this life, we're going to pass from this life, and we're going to meet Him someday.
Yeah.
I believe it's incumbent upon us to be real serious about our spiritual walk. I believe the Lord would have us fall in love with Him to the point that it stirs within our heart a burning fire, a passion to be like Him.
Yeah.
I believe He has a desire to live in you and I in so much that when we go out and rub shoulders with the world, that they'll see an attitude, a life lived that looks just like Christ.
Amen.
He wants to live in us to that point. May God help us. In the past, there was a time when the Lord first came and He sent Jesus to this earth. In this old story that we talked about or sang about a little bit this morning, blessed old story. When He first sent Jesus to the earth, He sent Him for a purpose. You see, sin had a hold on His world. Sin came and just had a stranglehold on people. The law came to reveal sin a little bit stronger, to make it more, we could recognize it a little better. And Paul said, made sin exceedingly simple. That's what the purpose of the law was, and also to bring a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And here came Christ then, at this point, at this time, when sin was reigning and God knew that the only answer for sin was there to be a perfect sacrifice. And Christ came to this world and He lived in the likeness of flesh, in likeness of sinful flesh. He came and He overcame sin in the flesh. And He was a perfect example. He was pure and holy, and He lived true, and He was sacrificed for sin. And in this old story about this time, you remember when Christ died, He was the sacrifice for our sin, that through Him we could come and receive redemption from our sin. Then He went up to the Father, didn't He? And when He went up to the Father, He said, you tarry in Jerusalem, talk to His disciples. He said, you go back to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And they went back and they prayed and they sought the Lord, and they were up in the upper chamber. And they were there seeking and praying, and the Lord came in might. You know what He did there. And the Lord had a great display of His power there. They spoke, and people out there in the audience heard in their own tongue. Thank the Lord. That was a mighty thing the Lord did. And as this truth went forth, and Peter then stood up shortly after that, some of the people in the crowd said, these people are evidently they were drunk. Some of them they were uncomfortable evidently what was going on there. They evidently didn't understand it. And Peter stood up and said, no, these people aren't drunk. He said, this is what was spoken of by Prophet Joel, where the Spirit would be poured out upon in the last days. And these last days he was talking about there is the last days where God came and He set up His kingdom. God came and He set up righteousness and purity. Salvation came. When He hung His head on the cross, He said it's finished. And what was finished was our salvation. Thank the Lord. And the dear old, precious old story still rings true today. Sister Linda mentioned a while ago that saved people back then, it still saves people today. And God would have you and I to be brought to His side, to be in unity with Him in holiness and truth, and trueness and purity in our life. Thank the Lord this morning. Then as the glory and the beauty of the early morning church, as the early morning, the kingdom, when God first set it up there, the day of Pentecost, and the glory of the church shone forth, then there came a time in history, few hundred years, wasn't very long after that, that man, and Peter over here, and Paul mentioned about that spirit that came that was anti-Christ, that was against Christ, that came and pushing against the spirit of purity, of trueness there. And that spirit came in and started causing men to be lifted up. They got looking at the church and decided we needed to put our hands in this thing and organize it and move it and as we see fit. And it wasn't long. You get to looking at it, studying church history. You start studying history around that time. Tertullian wrote about it. Origenus, I believe was his name. I don't really know how to pronounce that name. He wrote about these things. Polycarp did a little writing. There were different ones back there. Eusebius' history. And you start noticing the decline in spirituality. There was a prosperity. There was a time came in there. And during that time of ease in the church, now, persecution at first kept everybody close. They defined their values quick. They said, do I love him enough to go through this? And when they fell in love with the Lord, they were willing to lay down their lives. They loved not their lives unto death, thank the Lord. That's still going to take that for you and I today to serve the Lord as we should. We're going to have to be willing to love not our lives unto death by and overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Thank the Lord today we still can. But here are these people around this time, there was the ease, the persecution was lifted. Now, this, I'm bringing in some history, trust you follow me here this morning. And then, as the persecution was lifted, and people started feeling more comfortable, more at ease, there got to be a carelessness about their life. And man started trying to guide this thing. Man started trying to organize and build and push it. There was that the Bible teaches us that the government's on his shoulder. The government's on him, and he's the one, and still is the one that takes care of the ark. You remember when the ark was being brought back to Jerusalem and on a cart and the oxen went over after they rough place in the road and they kind of tipped back and forth. What was his name? I forget. But you know the man that reached down his hand. He was afraid the ark was fixing to tip over. He decided the government wasn't on his shoulder anymore and he thought he'd have to put his hand to it. And the Lord already told him, don't you do that. And he reached out and touched it. I believe if that ark would have been clear over on its side, I believe the Lord could have kept it from falling over. I don't care what it looks like to your eyes and mine today, dear ones. The government's still on his shoulder. We should rest in that fact. Whatever you see people out there not living for the Lord, coming and claiming to be saved, being hypocrites, dear ones, get our eyes off that. Maybe it looks to us like the ark's missing a long way. Don't put your hand to it. You follow the Lord. You fall in love with him to the point that you're willing to trust. He's still got his government still on his shoulder. And here, it wasn't very long after this ease came there that man started trying to direct this thing. And then there came a precipitous fall in righteousness and holiness in the church. And we know this time was a dark and a cloudy time. Throughout history, church history, talked about the witnesses, the two witnesses laying dead in the street, the word of the Spirit. There was a time there where it was so crushed and so held down. Man ruled the so-called church. Yeah. Pushed down. And then talked about later on, I think over there in Zechariah, or I forget maybe where that was, he talked about in the evening time it shall be light.
Yes.
Now there came a time then as history passed on and we find people they had a seeking heart. They had a desire to serve the Lord. And there was one man, we know his name well today, Martin Luther. You ever heard of that one? Now looking back on his life, there were things that probably you and I couldn't do that he was able to do at that time. But he was seeking the Lord to serve him. And in this seeking heart that he had, the Lord was able to give to him a truth, a very a little nugget of truth. He said, the just shall live by faith. And I think at the time he was in the process of making some sort of obeisance to the pontiff at that time. And the Lord was able to get across a certain amount of truth to him. Now, Martin Luther, the government's on my shoulder. The just shall live by faith. Don't bow down to something other than me. Dear ones, you and I today, we need to bow our hearts to the Lord. Not to man. Don't get your eyes on me. Don't get your eyes on any other minister. Don't get your eyes on any other kind of organization. You and I are going to have to love the Lord and fall in love with Him for ourselves and worship Him in trueness and purity. This is the gospel that has been preached from the beginning. And then all these other things that's brought in has been injected and twisted by man. Today, dear ones, you and I, we should have a personal, close contact and a walk with the Lord. Spirit-filled life. The same Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost is still around today and still wants to infill you and I. He still has a desire to fill you and I to the point that holiness and trueness is lived out in our life. And it can happen, thank the Lord. Well, this time we live in now, let's go over here to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe. The 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13. And I noticed this scripture the other day when I was reading here, it stuck out to me. The world has, in general, we look and see a general moral decay. And we see a carelessness. Even in the so-called Christian world, we see a carelessness about a life lived. And we almost gotten to the place anymore where it's almost universal that people believe that you really can't live above sin. It's almost universal out there that the truths that are held in the Bible, speaking about you and I, letting the Lord create perfection in us, is not being taught. It fell during the dark and cloudy day, and all these truths got twisted and got brought to the place where we feel comfortable anymore with a life less than purity before the Lord. And dear ones, today, listen to this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 13th chapter and 11th verse. In all this counsel that Brother Paul wrote to the Corinthians, here at the end, we studied a little bit of Corinthians this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and how we found out that there was a lot of corruption that had been here. There was a lot of things that had to be dealt with. But the final analysis, Paul talked to them, and he said these same ones he dealt with about these other issues we talked about today. He turned to them and he said, finally, brethren, farewell to be perfect. That seems like an insurmountable task. And in our own strength, I want you to know it is. There is no way we're going to, in our own strength, be perfect. There is no way that we can, in our own strength, attain to what Brother Paul asked them to do. Other place, he said, be ye perfect. As your Heavenly Father, I'm sorry, I'm misquoting that. Be ye holy, as your Father in heaven is holy. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting that correctly. And I can't get it in my mind. But there's different places that speaks about being holy unto the Lord. And this is, there is this aspect of holiness and sanctification that is setting us apart for the Lord. And dear ones, when you run that to its fullness, when we are actually set apart from the Lord, there is no room for ungodliness. That's probably so. You have it there?
No.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I know I read it recently, but right now I can't even recall where it is. But anyway, here this scripture says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. Now, let's find out. See, when Christ came here, he knew the problem. We'll see. That was the whole reason. You realize that if there wouldn't have been sin on this earth, then he wouldn't have had to come. And he came to be king over this thing that wasn't subject to God. He came to set up his kingdom over the enemy. The enemy was not man. Yes, man is the one that allowed sin in their life, but it wasn't man. God came to redeem man from sin. Thank the Lord. And when he came, when he said it's finished, he didn't say, I give up, I can't get it done. That's not what he said. When he hung on the cross, he said it's finished, and he knew he obeyed the Father all the way to the end. And he was, he was able, by his obedience, by his life that the Lord created in him, he was able to offer the perfect sacrifice. He overcame sin. Thank the Lord this morning that he did that. Let's turn over here in Romans, the 8th chapter, real quick. Pick up a thought here. 8th and the 3rd verse said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak to the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Christ came. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came just like you and I, dear ones. He came and he didn't, I know we think, you know, he was the Son of God and he had advantages that we didn't have, but dear ones, the scripture here tells us he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, just like you and I did. He was tempted. He was led out to the wilderness. There he met the devil face to face. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He had the same thing to deal with you and I do. He was made subject just like you and I are. He was, what does it say here? God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How did he condemn sin? It wasn't just by getting out and saying that, y'all, that's a sin, that's wrong. But no, he overcame it. And so since he overcame sin, thank the Lord he made the way. He opened the way that you and I also can do the same. Thank the Lord for that this morning. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, dear ones, if we're willing to walk after this sinful flesh, we're going to perform the things that the flesh will dictate. But the scripture here, Paul is teaching a special truth, I think we need to get a hold of this morning. Says, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that the righteousness of the law, what the law alluded to, what the law talked about righteousness, the purity, he said, the law, that the righteousness of this law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is where we're thinking about this morning, about a Spirit-filled life. We should not allow ourselves to become accustomed to the idea that flesh should rule. That's not God's will. Sin, mortify, crucify your members. Now, we can't even do that in our own strength, but we have the privilege and the responsibility to bring this old flesh to the cross. And Lord, I don't have strength to overcome it. Lord, I admit where I am. I see the old flesh. I realize how difficult it is and how wicked and how the tendencies that I have that come against the holiness of God. And I don't want to be that way, dear Lord. So I bring this flesh to you and ask you, Lord, that you'll help me, that you'll take this flesh and that you'll help it be nailed to the cross. That every time it cries out for its way, whenever it cries out for attitudes that aren't God-like, whenever it cries out for my mind to go out and think on things that aren't Christ-like, all dear ones, let's crucify the flesh. Put it on the cross today. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they mind the things that are of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For it is not subject, it's talking about the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. If we're willing to go ahead and allow these things in our hearts, this carnal flesh drive to be the thing that we we allow to control us, well, then we're going to find that it's enmity against God's law. But he said, he gave this counsel, he said, don't allow that to control you. Don't allow those fleshly desires to be the thing that draws you out. Dear ones, we're going to find, and if we're not willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek his face in truth, in a hunger, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, as we mentioned Martin Luther a while ago, not only him, there were different ones. The Lord got a little bit of truth to, and the reason why he did, the Spurgeon, I can name the others, that the Lord got some truth to, the Wesley brothers, when the Lord got a little truth to, the reason why he got some truth to them is because they had a seeking heart. They had a passion, they had a desire. They were wanting to serve the Lord. All dear ones today, wherever this message catches us today on this road of life, let it at least catch us in a place where we have a seeking heart. Let's have a seeking, passionate desire, Lord, to serve you, because the Lord can work within that framework. Now, if we're willing to allow the flesh to draw us aside to the things of this world, if we're willing to allow it rule us, we're going to find that it's enmity against the blessings of the Lord, against his word, against his direction in our life. We're going to find we're not going to be victorious. We're going to find that thing coming back and push us back, and we're going to find an up and down experience. We're going to have a time where we feel like some days we're going to hang our head because we didn't live like we should have. Now, in your spiritual life, you're still going to have times that you need to be chasing. Don't get me wrong here. But there is holiness and purity the Lord can create in you and I. And it's of his creation and not mine. We get it by humbly seeking and walking with the Lord and being willing every time that he points out a blessed desire, something that's not like him, being willing to say, yes, Lord, take it to the cross. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in my life. Oh, this fire of the Holy Spirit that had on the day of Pentecost is going to loosen a wildfire, one that causes people to act unseemly. This fire of the Holy Spirit is one that comes down and alive in your life and my life. Any life that's willing to ask him to come in and dwell in us, he's willing to come in there and start burning out things that aren't like him. Thank the Lord today we can submit ourselves to that fire today. We have that privilege of having him come in and dwell in us and create in us his image. We need to provide the passion, the desire, the seeking heart. Maybe we can look over here now at Galatians, the 4th chapter. Over here he talked, and I admit right up front here that I may bring this out a little bit different than what he actually meant here, but I believe I won't be doing the scripture violence. If you think I am, well then you talk to me after a while. Not. If I'm wrong, well I'll humble myself and say I am. But let's look at the scripture here now this morning. He talked about the bondwoman. You remember Hagar? You remember she had a son? And you remember the strife and the struggle there that Hagar and her son didn't mix with Sarah and her son? Those things, one of them was gendering to one direction. Well, gender is strife, what it says here. The other one was of the son of promise. And goes on down here, maybe the 19th verse. Paul was talking to these people, writing in this letter, and here they were wavering at this point in this Christian life. They were wavering between the old law system and Christ. And they were still trying to pick up a little bit of that old law. And Paul was dealing with this. So in the 19th verse, he says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. He had a desire that they come to the liberty that's in Christ. Now, the thing that was bringing them under bondage at that time, and he went on to bring out this allegory, he said, I desire, for it is written, 22nd verse, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman, the other by a free woman, and he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. Here is the flesh again, where it wasn't a spirit direction at all. This was the flesh that got him in trouble. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. But these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, and which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Talking about that system over there, that soul lost system that brought bondage. And he talked about that, said this is bondage, in bondage with her children. But then he stopped, mentioned this. He said, but Jerusalem, which is above. Now, he mentioned Jerusalem here. He said, that's over there, right next to Mount Sinai. Answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. He mentioned that old law system, the people that trusted in that, there was a bondage in that. But he talked about a new Jerusalem now, didn't he? This is not the same Jerusalem when he mentioned it in the 26th chapter. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us.
Amen.
Us all. Those of you and I today that have found our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we have had the redemption of His blood, and have had a new birth, the changing, thank the Lord, we can see today a new Jerusalem. It's not that old Jerusalem. No longer is it a Jew that is one outwardly, but it's a Jew that's inwardly. It's a new Jerusalem that you and I, His new birth that He gave us. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is not under bondage anymore. Now, what was the thing that created the bondage back then? Yes, the old law, but there was more than that. Christ came to deliver the captive from sin. And the bondage then that you and I don't struggle today with the desire to be under the old law, that's past. There's been enough time past that we understand that the old law doesn't tempt us, you and I today, anymore. We realize our faith and trust and our help must come from Jesus Christ. But the things that we deal with today, the bond woman today and her son today, are sin. Now I realize he was teaching here in this scripture about the old law. But if you let me today, let's bring it over down to what we deal with today. It's no longer the old law system that we struggle with. The things trying to bring us in bondage today is sin. The worldliness. Things that aren't like God. That's what we struggle against today. There was, don't you know, if we're willing to take on the dress of the world, the thinking of the world, the desires to go to the worldly entertainment, the pleasures of the world, if we feed our minds on those things, don't you know that we're getting in a place where the bond woman is once again ruling us? We're going to get in a place where her children, her sons, those things out there that you see out there today, those are the things we struggle against. Those are the things that would like to bring us back under their subjection. But all dear ones, that things are the flesh that was born of the flesh. Christ was born of promise. This is the freedom, the Jerusalem that came from above. There's freedom in that. All dear ones, God didn't ever intend for those that He redeemed out of sin. He didn't ever intend for those to be under subjection again to the bond woman. God didn't intend for that to happen. Listen to the truth this morning. The holiness and purity comes by Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. He went away, said, I go away, then I send the Comforter. He'll dwell in you. Thank the Lord that we can have Him today, leading and guiding and convicting and causing us to realize what way we should walk and anointing us for His service. Oh, let's be careful that we don't imbibe. We don't sympathize a little bit with some of the children of the bondwoman. Sometimes we can clearly see some things out there that aren't right. Rather, we wouldn't be found out in some of the bars and things out there. That's very clear. That's clear, the bondage that we see out there. But sometimes we're willing, in the privacy of our home, allow our mind to go on things that we shouldn't go on. Allow our eye, oh dear ones, that's of the bondwoman, those are children of the bondwoman. Those are things that bring people into bondage. Now come, now destroy your life. Oh, let's be careful with the music that we listen to. Let's be careful with the radio, the things that we listen to on the radio. Let's be careful that we don't feed our minds or our eyes on things that are ungodly today. Oh, I'm not preaching against the radio today except for the evil that don't allow ourselves to have compassion on the bondwoman or her children. You remember that child when she went out to the desert? You remember? We're going to go out there and die. Well, the Lord had a plan there and they came back. But dear ones, that desert of sin out there, let's allow those things die in the desert. That's not, God didn't intend for the children of the free woman, which we're the children of Christ. He didn't intend for you and I to have compassion on that child out there. That's supposed to stay out there. I don't mean to be incompassionate toward people. Now, that's not what this is meaning at all. But we're talking about sin here. We're talking about things that cause you and I to be brought under subjection. It's a sinful, lustful attitude. We need to identify those things and take them when the Lord Himself identifies it to us. We need to be willing to take them and say, "Yes, Lord, I see it now. That's who I am. That's how I've been. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't see it until now. God, I bring it now to the cross. Submit it to the fire. Let the Lord burn it out of our lives." Thank the Lord this morning we can do that. Over here, later on down, it says, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son." We've already covered some of that. Don't allow that thing to get a hold of us anymore. Then on, right on down, fifth chapter, the next verse, the first verse says, "Stand fast, therefore, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage." Oh, Paul's bringing out some truths here. Oh, let me get a hold of it. Let's raise our eyes and our vision past this idea. Now go forward. Don't allow ourselves to be called back again into that bondage. He set us free. He didn't ever intend for you and I again to fall under that yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And right on down here, a little bit farther, he said, "You did run well. Who hindered you?" Oh, dear ones, let's not allow the things of this world to hinder us. If we find somewhere in our heart, we find a cooling off of our experience for the Lord, with the Lord. If we find a little bit of a lukewarmness settling in, if we find a little bit of our passion for the things of the Lord being lessened, let's bow our knees and say, "Lord, examine my heart. Help me to see, Lord, where I stand before you. I really want to serve you. I don't want to be brought again into bondage. I want to be clear and pure and true. I don't want to have guilt in my life." And then, you know, if the Lord can reveal to us that He'll relight our candle, He'll relight, restore, rekindle that spirit, that flame within us. Remember over there, I believe it's in Matthew, the latter part, the middle part of the fifth chapter, he talked about, "No man lighteth the candle and putteth it under a bushel." This lighting that we're talking about, this candle that was mentioned over there, Jesus, is on the Sermon on the Mount. The candle that he lit was Christ, was his life in you and I. And he meant for that light to be there. And he meant shine out. And he said, "No man taking the candle and light it and put a bushel over it, put a cover over it." But many times, too many times today, dear ones, we are satisfied with a relationship, with a walk or experience that covers our candle. That candle was of his lighting. And we don't have the right to put a shade over it. Oh, that's the Lord's work. God never intended for that candle to be hunkered down and be kind of down in the hole somewhere and covered up. When we're out there in the world, that light's supposed to shine. But the devil would like to come along and cause pressures of life, cause a little bit of attitudes, cause a willingness to allow your mind to go on things that aren't like God. Allows that, he would like to inject those into our life to the point that pretty soon we find our candle with shade over it, just flickering real low, oxygen starved. That's not God's will. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, thank the Lord. You did run well. Don't let anything hinder us. Oh, may the Lord help us today. See your time is about up. Maybe we'll have a scripture or two here quickly. Titus, second chapter. Out of the second chapter, I believe the 14th verse, maybe we'll, let me see it here. Maybe the 13th verse, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Thank the Lord. There's not a place that man finds himself in today that his grace won't lift him up, that his blood won't reach. There is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. But also this redemption from all sin, he didn't just come and redeem from that and leave us there. No, he lifted us up. He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Do you feel like one of his set apart peculiar people? Well, this peculiar doesn't mean that you just look strange and odd. That's not what peculiar means here. This peculiar means that you are set apart for a specific purpose. Peculiar is something. We say, well, that's just peculiar to that area of the world. That I was out recently in Arizona, and I saw some of these big cactuses, and there's not another state I know of in the Union that has that cactus. Arizona is the one that has it. And as far as I know, that's what I was told, and I haven't seen it anywhere else, but just right down there in Arizona. It's peculiar to that area. That's it. Well, dear ones, he said he came and he purified unto himself a peculiar people. Just, this is the only place they dwell, in holiness, in purity. Peculiar. We're set apart. That's where we're found, is right here in the Lord. He came to set us apart, to purify unto himself a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. There was with, this is part of it too, zealous of good works. If Christ be formed in us, if he has redeemed us, then it ought to call forth an action. Holiness lived out, yes, as well as his love reached out. There's a song sometimes we sing, oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. That ought to be one of the passionate desires of his virgin bride. That's who we are, is a virgin bride of Christ. That ought to be one of the passionate desires of the church, is to reach out with his hand extended of love. We have something that we should never put a candle over this thing. It ought to shine forward. And we ought to have a passionate desire for souls to be born, for babies to be born into the kingdom of will. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with authority. Let no man despise thee. Maybe on down here again, the third verse, my third chapter. Move on down. Fifth verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Maybe it's Romans 4. Well, maybe the fourth verse will start there. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, this Holy Spirit and this Spirit-filled life, this is one. Now, once he gives us his Holy Spirit, I want you to know his Spirit. His Holy Spirit is not mixed with unrighteousness. That in itself should allow us to know that God is against sin in Christians. God's against sin anywhere. But he really doesn't want us to accept the false idea that Christians should be sinners. God, help us to live as we live before the Lord in trueness and purity. Oh, he has a desire this morning to wrap us in his arms. He has a desire to take his little children and coddle them on his knees. And there's times when maybe we're weak and we need the Lord's special help. You know what? We can go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm being tempted. Oh, don't think you're sin. If you're being tempted, Christ was tempted too, and he did without sin. But when we're tempted and we feel the struggle, the pressure of the world come upon us, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happened, or I think that's how it goes. But today in our trials, let's learn just like Jesus did. Take it to the Lord. Lord, I want to obey you. I want to please you here. The Lord will give us scriptures. The Lord will give us a way that we can go and we can, in that way, be pleasing to him. Still live righteously and pure and holy. He would take us in his arms. We're his little children. Except supper, little children come to me. And forbid them not. He hadn't changed any day. He still wants us to come to his side, especially in the times of trouble. Well, let's hurry on here real quick. Maybe I want to go over here to Revelation. See, we talked a little bit a while ago about that New Jerusalem. Paul was talking about that New Jerusalem. Oh, I'm not looking forward anywhere in the future. Thank the Lord, I'm experiencing it already today. Thank the Lord for the New Jerusalem that he's given us today, the life of Christ, the freedom that's in Jesus Christ. I'm a new Jew today. You look back in my history, you look back on my family tree, and you know, I doubt if you'll ever find it, any bit of Jewish blood, you know, physical Jewish blood, but I'm a Jew today. Thank the Lord, I'm one that's made by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Over here in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. And it said, and he showed me, what is that first verse? And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the stream of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, listen, isn't this a picture of what Christ set up? Think of it for a little bit here. And he showed me a pure river of life. Isn't that, he said, come to me, all ye that labor under heaven, and I'll give you rest. And he said, he was alive. He said, and he talked about that woman, we talked to that Samaritan woman at the well. He said, if you would ask me to drink, I'd give it to you. It'd be a well of water of life springing up in you into everlasting life. That's what it goes. Continually springing up within her into everlasting life. This is it. This is what he's talking about. That's part of what he's alluding to right there. This river, he showed me the pure river. Oh, and this river, this pure river, clear as crystal. I believe there's nothing hidden. There's nothing unclean in this. Oh, as the word goes forward, the purity of the gospel and the purity of God's communion with you and I, that's a river that flows through us to satisfy our soul, satisfy our longing, give us grace and strength to live pure today. Oh, he said he showed me a pure river of life, river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Oh, this didn't come from Brother D.S. Warner. This didn't come from the Wesley brothers. It didn't come from Spurgeon. didn't come from Martin Luther. This came out of the throne of God. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from any other ministry you might think of. This pure gospel, the truth, came out from the throne of God. And He knows just how to nurture you and I. And it flows down from heaven above. You and I, we can listen to the counsel that other ministers give us. Thank the Lord for the truth that comes out of His gospel. But you and I have to set our foot for ourselves into this river. You and I have to set our foot. We have to plunge in and to reap the sweet purity to feel the satisfying of the Lord. Oh, you can listen to the truth all your life. Well, you can claim I'm one of His children. But if we don't have that working, the Spirit is working in us, dear ones, we better check our experience with the Lord. Lord, have you and I enjoying the freedom of the Spirit. Lord, have you and I enjoying the sweetness of this river. Drink of it this morning. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of His Lamb, of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of it, as it flowed down Zion, as it flowed down the New Jerusalem, as it flowed, the New Jerusalem is His church, dear ones. It's the saved, the sanctified, the holy, the people of the God's creation. This is what He created, the New Jerusalem. As it flows down through our hearts, through the midst of us here today, this is in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Oh, dear ones, when this tree of life, when we're in this river, and it gets a hold of you and I, and changes us into a new creature, and we enjoy drinking of this river, walking here in this new Jerusalem. Oh, we don't need to have any need of the sun. Yes, we have this physical sun, but it's all about a spiritual sun. And our eyesight's open. The clarity, oh, I know now what you want me to do, Lord. I see the truth of your word. I see the redemption, and it just thrills my soul. As we live here on either side, it's talked about the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, every time of your life. Maybe you're a child, and you can get saved. And the Lord can cause fruit to come out of that life for His glory and His honor. And every phase of your life bears fruit, dear ones. It bears fruit right on down to your... Oh, my grandpa was 91 years old or something like that, still bearing fruit in his life. I watch him come here to services and rejoice in the things of the Lord. I know it's still bearing fruit. Thank the Lord. Oh, it can bear fruit in us from childhood clear to a cross line all over and go into His arms. It bears fruit all the way through. 12 manner. I don't know what you get out of that 12 manner, but I believe there's a completeness in that. All manner of fruit. All we need is found there. Over there in Psalms, there's a place that all my springs are found in her. Oh, it's right here today. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Here in this new Jerusalem, here in this place he's talking about right here, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. That sound like your servant of the flesh, does it? That sound like your servant sin, serving him. Living above sin, thank the Lord.
Yes.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. How about it today, dear ones, as we go forth from here, what do people see in our face? Do they see a hardness? They see a hypocrite? Or do they see holiness under the Lord? Do they see Christ-like? All we need, whatever goes out from us, needs to speak of Christ. That's talk to these people here that was found in this place. They had His name
in their forehead.
Yes, in their forehead. And they shall see His face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle. We already mentioned some of this. Neither light of the sun, for the Lord of God, the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Reign? Do we need to reign over anything? Any people? Do you have ambitions to reign over this world? Reign over people? No, but I hope we have ambitions to reign over the things that cause us hurt and destruction in our soul. That's where the reign comes in, dear ones. We don't have ambition to reign. What do we need to reign over after that? We are kings and priests then, thank the Lord. That's where we need to be. Oh, we have ambition to reign over people. A lot of times there's selfishness involved in that. But when we reign over sin and have the life of Christ within, oh, thank the Lord, then we are kings.
Amen.
I know at times that maybe... I'll read quickly. There's a lot of good here in this chapter. For the Lord God giveth them life, and they shall reign forever and ever. He said to me, these things are faithful and true.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them. Notice this. He fell down before an angel, and the angel said, don't you do it. I'm not the one to worship. In this life today, dear ones, we should worship no man. We can respect each other and love and cherish each other, but don't worship them. Worship and honor goes to the King and Him alone. He's a jealous God. Anytime we allow our devotion to go to any man, we're going to find that our spiritual walk with the Lord is diminished by at least that much. And it will kill us eventually. 10th verse, and he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. I don't exactly understand completely that scripture, but I'll tell you what I get out of it. There is a time that's coming. Then, whenever your life ends, there's nothing past that point and nothing you can do. There's no purgatory to pray you out of. The Bible doesn't teach that. There is nothing there. At that point, if you're just, well, you're going to be just still. If you're filthy, you're going to be filthy still. I don't know exactly if that's exactly what this means, but that's a truth anyway. Oh, it means a lot to be ready when he comes. And behold, he said, I come quickly, and my reward's with me, to give every man according to his work shall be, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Oh, I want to be one of those, don't you? And may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers. That's what we find out here in the world today, isn't it, dear ones? Saints, listen, let's not mingle ourselves with the things that are without. The dogs. Oh, no, we're not talking about the alley dogs out here. We're talking about things that devour the spirituality out of our life, that would come and hunt us down. When we should really have our devotion to the Lord. Oh, be careful. Don't let those same whoremongers, sorcerers. Oh, today it seems like the pagan worship, self-worship, the worship of man has just elevated itself out there. Oh, let's be careful. The sorcery, idolatry, these things. Whosoever loveth it maketh a lie. Oh, we've got to be honest. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you that these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will thank the Lord that took me in, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, this river that came out from the throne of God. We can drink till it satisfies our soul today. Thank the Lord. And I believe in there's healing in that water. I believe that the leaves of the tree was for the healing of the nations. all the nations need healing today. From sin, isn't it? Isn't that what they need healing from? There's the tree still producing all well manner of fruit as leaves are for the healing. Oh, thank the Lord. It's still effective today. That old story is still true.
Yes, amen.
I lost my place. Where was I reading? And the 18th verse, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto them unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the city, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Then the writer here said, even so let it be. I'm sorry. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Can you say that today? Or do we have something still we have to fix? If we still have something in our life we need to fix, let's fix it today. Because I don't know when he's coming. You don't either. But he said, I come quickly.
Amen.
He comes a thief in the night. But we can meet him in truth and purity and holiness and have his blessings on our life. Pray for me. I want to be one of those.
Amen. Hey, we're living in a time when sin is abounding and people are patting sin on the back and they're just going on. But I want to say something here this morning. We are going to have to be delivered. We're going to have to join ourselves to the Lord. We're going to have something in our power. Are we going to go through? Not just up and down business. You know, we don't need that. We need a steady. Steady as you go. We need it. Flesh is weak. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is willing to help us. The Spirit is willing to grow our lives. The Spirit is willing to cause you to live a holy life. If I had to live a holy life within myself, I'd been so confused and mixed up, I couldn't do it within myself. But when the power of the Holy Ghost come into our hearts, the Lord helps.
Amen.
The Lord is able to help. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Oh, may the Lord help us. We're concerned. We're burdened. We want people to get a hold of God. We want people to really ask the Lord to help us out. It said in the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it said, starting at the 19th verse, it says, what know ye not that your body? You know, I thought about how that, you know, people that building big temples and nice churches, so to speak. But you know, the Lord wants us to build something for Him to dwell in our bodies.
Amen.
You know, this is what the Lord does. The Lord is wanting us. He wants us to be willing. Lord, I'm going to consecrate my life. I'm going to put all on the altar. Lord, I'm just going to give up everything.
Yeah.
I want you to come into my heart. I want you to dwell in my life.
Yeah.
I want you to rule this temple. I want you, Lord. You know, I thought about the scripture said, how did that scripture go in Jeremiah? It is not in man to direct his steps. It's not in us. We can't direct our steps. We can't have this cause or that cause. We're going to have the Spirit of God We're going to have the Lord dwelling in this body, controlling this body. You know, I thought about people don't have more fear. And you know, when I received the Holy Spirit, someone said, can you go out with me? Can you do this or can you do that? And you know, it dawned on me, no, the Holy Spirit can't do that.
Yeah.
See, and I told him, I said, no, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit is there. He's holding with his grief, a spirit of the Lord. That's right, we can grieve. It said, grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
May God help us today. It said, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body. It says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. See, you're not your own now. You can't go out here and do what you want to do. That's right. You're not your own. It says you're bought with a price, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. How can we glorify God? You know, we can shout and we can praise God, which I do once in a while, and I don't think we do it enough, but how we glorify God is how we live here in this life.
Yes, amen.
How we conduct ourselves right here in this life, where the world can see. Where the world can see what we are. May God help us today.
Yes.
You know, join ourselves to the Lord. I wanna turn to a Song of Solomon. I wanna get a thought over there. May the Lord help us. Help us today. Oh, we need God. Boy, it seems like that the world is in confusion. And people are just saying, well, this is all right, that's all right, you don't understand. You know, have you heard that a lot? They don't understand. No, they don't. The world don't understand. But if they see you live a holy life, then they'll know what it is. I remember this, I've said this before, I feel like I want to say it again. You know, there was a Catholic woman over there who used to live, my mother and I, and she knew exactly what I did and all. And she told my mother, she said, there's something wrong with that boy. I knew what she was talking about. Something wrong, yeah, my mother said he got saved. Well, I don't know what that means, she said, but she said there's something wrong with that boy. She said he's different. He's different. I couldn't make myself different. I couldn't do that. It took the power of the Holy Ghost to change my life. I had a high temper. Oh, I had a high temper. And I was afraid of myself. I really was. I was afraid I'd kill somebody. I wasn't afraid of nothing. I wasn't afraid of a rattlesnake. When I was a servant, I jumped over. I wasn't afraid of nothing. But when I got saved, I had the fear of God. I feared God.
Amen.
God is worthy.